If you've got your Bibles this morning, go ahead and go to Philippians. If you've got a physical Bible, or whether you've got an app on your tablet or your phone or whatever you might have with you, we're going to be there. We're going to be flipping around a little bit to some different passages, but we're going to start off in Philippians, and that's going to be our main text for this morning. This is week number two on gratitude, on this idea of giving thanks and both giving thanks to God for what He has done in our lives and being thankful toward one another. We are commanded in both those respects. Last week we started off in 1 Thessalonians 5 with probably the most familiar passage in the Bible about being thankful, where Paul says, be thankful in all circumstances. And we took a look at what that meant, and it kind of set the tone for this idea that gratitude is not just a suggestion in Scripture, it's much more of a command. And something that we are called to. And we saw last week some of the things that gratitude does in our lives and how we can develop this discipline. Next week, Heather and I are going to be gone. We're going to be at the International Conference on Missions in Lexington, Kentucky. So Nathan's going to preach, and he's going to cover one of the topics that I threw his way as a possibility of some of these Thanksgiving-type passages was Colossians chapter 1 and this idea of being thankful for our salvation. And he's going to run with that idea next week. I'm not exactly sure specifically where he's going to go with that, but that is the gist of things for next week. And then in week 4, which is Thanksgiving week itself, we're going to take a kind of a look at two passages. We're going to go to Old Testament and take a look at Psalm 100, enter His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. And we're going to kind of pair that with the passage in Hebrews, I think it's in chapter 12, where Paul, if Paul's the author of Hebrews, we don't really know, where the author of Hebrews writes that our attitude of thanksgiving should be paired with our service. And so we're going to talk about what it means to serve God out of our thanksgiving, out of our gratitude. And it's a way that we can enrich our fellowship with Him and enrich our relationship with Him. And it kind of plays a vital role in our spiritual formation. All of these topics of thanksgiving do. And so that's kind of a snapshot of the whole series. This morning, though, Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to take a look at this idea of being thankful and showing our gratitude for God's provision for us. And we're going to see on the flip side of that sometimes the stumbling block of that is this idea of entitlement and our focus on ourselves. And we're going to kind of see that a little bit this morning. I think most of us, I think it's probably human nature. I think that most of us tend to be worriers to some degree. And you don't have to raise your hand, but if you agree with that, you can kind of nod your head, or you can just say, no, Jeff, you're wrong. I'm not a worrier at all. I think it's kind of part of our fallen, granted, but I think it's part of our human nature to worry about things to some degree. Some of us maybe more so than others. And the Bible tells us that worry is not what we should focus on, and it tells us that the opposite of worry is trust. And every time you see some of this in Scripture, not every time, but a lot of the times when you see some of this in Scripture, the idea of worry and its antidote is gratitude. Thanksgiving plays a big part in helping us to trust and not worry about stuff more than we should. A few years ago, it wasn't too long after we moved here to Sedalia, We had a bit of a health scare in our family. It was it's still kind of raw for me. But we had a health scare with Heather right before COVID. She had a routine doctor appointment and on kind of some women's health issues and a checkup. And then COVID shut everything down, and so we had to have our follow-up appointments with this doctor over Zoom, which that in itself is frustrating enough, right? When you're having to have a conversation with somebody and you're looking at a computer screen and it's just not going like you want. And this doctor says she had found something. And she found a lump during an exam. And during our Zoom call, she informed us that it was likely breast cancer and that we should start preparing for the worst. So we transferred all of her records to Columbia to a specialist, and she took a look at everything. She set up a biopsy. She went to work. She did a lot of the legwork on that and worked us through it. In the meantime, you know what's happening in my mind. The doctor said, you should start preparing for the worst. So what does my mind do? it goes to the worst case scenarios. It really does. I mean, that's, if you know me, you know that's how my mind functions sometimes. And my mind conjures up all of the consequences and the what ifs and even the far-fetched what ifs. Okay, my mind does not do anything halfway. It does. It goes all out and goes completely psycho sometimes on me. And so every possible situation is floating through my brain. And our doctor there called us in for a consultation. Not Zoom this time. We actually got called in during COVID, mind you. And she sat there and she cried with us and she listened to us and she shared what she had found in her follow-up and through the biopsy and all of that. Absolutely nothing. There was a spot that had showed up on one of the exams, but it was completely normal tissue, nothing for us to worry about at all. And she also told us that the doctor who told us that should probably have her license revoked because she was a quack and shouldn't be practicing medicine. Because she told us all this without doing any test, no biopsy, no test. She just assumed and put us in this downward spiral. And so, in short, she said, you need to find a new doctor. So guess what? We did. And through all of that, we had a couple of people here in this church that came alongside of us and prayed with us and prayed for us and reminded us. I distinctly remember one specific conversation where one of you, very bluntly, I might add, reminded me that worry wasn't going to solve anything and worry was not my answer and that I had a lot more to be thankful for. Worry is a universal experience. We deal with it. Regardless of our age or our background or who we might be, it just affects us. And some of us go through life weighed down by these anxieties. Anxieties about relationships, anxieties about health scares like that one, anxiety about our finances or about our future. And those kind of things, the weight of those kind of things can really rob us of peace. It can rob us of our joy, and it can leave us exhausted and leave us feeling very uncertain about life. And it's really easy, it's very easy to get stuck in a cycle of fear and frustration and this feeling that you're facing your struggles all alone. But God gives us an alternative to that. He says the alternative to anxiety is a life that is marked by peace and by gratitude. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul speaks directly to that. He speaks directly to the anxiety in our hearts, to our worries, to our fears, by saying this. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so Paul, in just a couple of short verses, just releases this very, very profound truth that we can replace our anxieties with gratitude. Now, when I think of worry, gratitude is not the first thing that I think of when I think of what the opposite of that might be. But Paul connects the two, and he does so in more than one place. And he invites us to bring our concerns to God with this thanksgiving attitude. And when we do that, it shifts our focus from our struggles to the one who can handle our struggles, the struggles that we can't. And it opens us up to this idea of peace that God promises, that he says there, Paul says, will guard our hearts and minds. And so gratitude is not just a polite response. It is a powerful antidote to worry. It really is. And when we thank God, when we acknowledge gratitude for what he has blessed us with and the people that he has put in our lives, we acknowledge his power, we understand his presence is with us, we see his provision, and we allow his peace to settle within us, even in the difficult times. And what Paul says about this attitude that we should have here, this attitude of gratitude, reshapes our entire outlook. It does for me. When I think about being thankful instead of focusing on my worries, it entirely shifts our perspective. Completely. And I can see at least four results that take place in our lives, in our spiritual growth, our spiritual formation, when we shift this perspective, when we choose to be thankful. And the first thing it does is that gratitude will shift our focus from our problems to God's provision. I mean, we live in a situation, if you've got your bulletin, if you're filling in, there's your first blank. Oh, you've got it up here. I don't see it in the back. That threw me off, Toby. I was panicking there for a second. Thought our system was down. I was like, oh no, not now. At least we got through the songs, right? Yeah. So it shifts our focus. When we are consumed by worry, our focus tends to zoom in on the problems. And that's immediately where my mind went when we got that first doctor's news. And the more we dwell on that, on our fears, on our challenges, the bigger they seem, honestly. They just seem to be big, and it becomes really, really easy to feel overwhelmed and believe that our struggles are insurmountable and that we're helpless to do anything about it and that nobody else has ever experienced anything similar to it in the history of mankind, and you're all by yourself. It builds, and it feeds on itself, and it doesn't do anything helpful. But God, when we focus on gratitude, God shifts our perspective, and when we choose to be thankful, our focus moves from our problems to the one who can fix the problems. It focuses on what we're struggling with to what God is providing for us. It's exactly what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. He tells his followers, he says, don't be anxious saying, what are we going to eat or what shall we drink or what should we wear? I mean, he goes on, he says, after all, because you know, I mean, God knows those things already. He knows what you're going to eat. He's already providing for your needs, those basic needs. So don't let worry consume you. And so what does Jesus say instead? He says, instead, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jeff paraphrase, all that other stuff, fall into place. It'll all be taken care of. Worry blinds us. Fear blinds us. But when we are thankful, we can acknowledge that God is our provider. He's the one who has given us what we need, and he will be the one who sustains us through those things because he's the one who meets our needs. He's the one who does that. He has in the past, and he will continue to in the future. And every time we thank God, we're recognizing his presence in our lives. Every time we thank God, we're recognizing his faithfulness to us to supply exactly what we need. Gratitude reminds us of all the ways that God has already done that, and it allows us to keep our focus on what he can do instead of what we can't. And that's a huge paradigm shift in your mind if you can turn that corner. There was some emphasis on that statement. Take note. When we focus on being thankful, we cultivate a mindset that is not blinded by our problems, but is open to seeing how God can be the one who solves them. You ever get focused on that when you're thinking, this is the only way I see to resolve this is this particular situation, and God does it in some way you didn't even imagine? Anybody been there? Find myself there all the time, unfortunately. You think I'd learn my lesson once in a while, but sometimes it takes a little bit to get through this hard skull. So how do we do this? I want to give you guys an application point for everything we talk about this morning. It's some way to put this into practice. And so to apply this to our individual lives today is just start by adding some time of gratitude to your prayers. Add some time to be thankful when you are talking to God. Make a list in your journal. And then tell God what you're thankful for, whether it's what he's provided for you for today, or whether it's an answer to a prayer, or the ways that God has been present in our lives, and make it a habit to do this on a daily basis. Make this a habit to be thankful. And when you do that, you find that your heart and your mind is going to be drawn away from the anxiety. It's going to be directed toward the peace and the assurance that comes from knowing that God is faithful, that God is sovereign, that God is already there and in control. Gratitude becomes a gateway, helping us to see that God is already at work, taking care of things before we even know, honestly, what to ask for. The second thing that gratitude does, gratitude reframes our worries in light of God's faithfulness. Gratitude, we kind of already hit on this a little bit, but gratitude has this specific way that it can help shift our focus, shift our perspective, helping us to see our worries through the lens of how God remains faithful. When we're thankful, we remind ourselves of who God is and how he's acted. And those are some of the things that we need to write down and remember to give thanks for in our prayers. But sometimes we need that reminder. I mean, I know that I do. And one of the passages that reminds me about God's faithfulness, one of my favorite passages that reminds me about God's faithfulness is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Jeremiah says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, because his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I need that reminder so much that I decided to name my kids, one of my kids, after that passage. I don't know if I've ever told you, I know I've had this conversation with some of you, but Mercy's middle name is Dawn. And if that was the NIV that I just read there, God's compassions are new every morning. But in other translations, it says God's mercies are new every morning. So mercy, and then when the sun comes up in the morning, what do we call that? We call it dawn. So mercy's name literally is a reminder to me that God's mercies are refreshed every day for me. It reminds us that God's faithfulness is not just a concept. It's a daily, dependable reality. His mercies are fresh every morning. His faithfulness is a constant we can rely on, even when everything around me seems to be falling apart. And when we choose to be grateful and we choose to trust his faithfulness instead of focusing on the things that worry us, we are essentially reframing our perspective. So instead of focusing on and living by the negative problems, the negative outcomes that I foresee, we start to remember and acknowledge the countless times that God has come through in the past. Anybody ever ashamed that you have to be reminded of those times that God's been faithful? Gratitude acts as the lens that brings his faithfulness into focus. It doesn't mean that our challenges are going to magically disappear. In fact, we probably still have to walk through some of those. But what it does mean is that our worries lose some of their power over us, because we can see them in the context of God's goodness and God's sovereignty. We can see them differently. It reframes them for us. And when we can remember how God has acted, how he has answered prayers, how he's provided for what we need, how he's guided us through these difficult situations before, then those worries are tempered by the truth that God is in control, and he's with us then, and he's with us now. So on a practical application level, put this into practice by keeping a record. Okay, I told you to grab your journal and write down things that you're thankful for in the first application idea. In this one, now start dating those things when you see God come through on them. Write a date down. When God answers your prayer, when God does something spectacular, and keep track of those things so that you can go back through your journal at some point down the road and you can see how God has been thankful or has been faithful. It provides reminders, and we need reminders. We need things to help us remember. Keep those details, and you've got a powerful testimony that whatever your current worry is, that's not the end of your story. You can look and you can see how faithful God has been, and that can give you some hope and some courage for whatever it is that you're facing at the moment. Number three, third thing that gratitude does is gratitude cultivates peace in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. It's not just a way to shift our focus, but it also opens our hearts to experience this deep and abiding peace that only God can provide. That's what Paul's promising in Philippians chapter 4 when he says, submit your request to God with thanksgiving instead of worry. And the result of this, the consequence that comes from this, is that the peace of God, which you can't even begin to understand, by the way, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, Paul connects peace and gratitude again in that passage too. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Peace and gratitude are connected there. These two concepts, they're always connected together. And when we approach life with this attitude of gratefulness, of thankfulness, we can be more aware of God's peace, yes, or his presence, yes, but we also start to feel that sense of peace that he is instilling in us, which we can't even fully begin to understand. And it's not dependent upon your situation being taken care of either. You don't have to have the situation resolved before you start feeling that peace. And that's why we can't understand it, because we're still in the middle of what might be a very dark and trying circumstance, and yet we can have peace about it. That doesn't make sense, does it? But it's a reality, I think, that we've experienced. And gratitude, what gratitude does is gratitude prepares the soil of my heart and makes it ready for peace to grow. And when we take the time to recognize God's faithfulness, God's provision, His blessings in our lives, when we counteract the worry and the anxiety that comes from focusing on the struggles and put our focus on Him, when gratitude takes place, when it takes root, what it does is the opposite of anxiety, it's the antidote to worry, and what it does is starts promoting and growing peace in your life. Which means that you can let go of the burden of trying to control everything in your life. You can let that go. I don't think anxiety and peace can coexist completely. If you're worried, peace isn't going to be there. But whenever you're grateful and you allow God to have control, then the peace will come in and the worries will go out. And it fills our minds and our hearts with calm and clarity. And then we can continue to practice gratitude and we can start to feel this tangible sense of God's peace and this confidence that He's in control regarding whatever it is that we're facing. And so how do we do this? How do we put this one into place in our lives? I would suggest maybe trying something what I call popcorn prayers. Go to the microwave, throw a bag of popcorn in there, and just pray that it comes out not burnt. Okay, that's the other kind of popcorn prayers. Just little prayers that you just pop up. Just prayers of thanksgiving. Just prayers of gratitude. Each time you feel anxiety creeping in, just pause for a minute and express something that you're grateful for. Just it takes 2 seconds to stop and consciously offer that up to God and say, okay, I'm gonna focus on this and not that. So that it's just like popcorn popping. It's just sudden. It's just quick. And this simple little act can help realign our mind with what God wants to do in us and take our focus off of what we're focusing on what He wants us to focus on and the fact that He's in control of it. I mean, He is. He's got it. Regardless of what the situation is, He's got it. He's there. And as gratitude becomes a regular part of our prayers, we find that peace comes more easily and more easily and more easily and allows us to face life with a little bit of a deeper sense of trust and peace. And then the fourth thing that gratitude does is it strengthens our faith for the future. All of these are overlapping, by the way. There's like a big Venn diagram going on in my mind as I have all these, and all four of these points are overlapping with some areas in common. But most of the time, when we think about being thankful, we think about that when things are going good, right? When things are good, it's easy to remember to be grateful for what's happening. Nothing is turning our world upside down, so we can be grateful for that. But gratitude in the good times is a good tool for helping you build gratitude when times aren't so good. Because those times will come. We're all going to face those. And last week in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, he says, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And he says, give thanks in all circumstances, not just in the good times. He says, in all the times. Because honestly, when I'm thankful for the good things, that really doesn't stand out too spectacular, does it? I mean, everybody can be thankful when things are going good. But when I'm thankful when things are in the deepest, blackest pit that I can possibly imagine, that stands out. People notice that. They wonder how you can be grateful in such a time as that, and that can sometimes give you the opportunity to talk about it. That can give you the chance to share your trust in Him. Even when you don't even understand why you're going through the situation, when you choose to be grateful, it gives you that opportunity. And so in that regard, gratitude is kind of an act of faith. It acknowledges that despite whatever my circumstances might be, I acknowledge and I trust the fact that God is there and God is in control and that He is still good and He's still able to bring about a greater purpose for my life than what I seem to think about it. And I'm reminded, just like we've talked about, that God has been faithful in the past so that I can trust Him to be faithful in the future. And that strengthens my confidence, that strengthens my faith. And it helps me to build spiritual resilience. In other words, Romans chapter 8, verse 29, He's conforming me to look more like the image of Jesus. That's what it does in us. It becomes a declaration of faith that says, I might not see the whole picture, but I trust that God does. And I trust that He is in the middle of it. And I trust that He's going to do something about it. When I was a kid, my grandmother, her name was Clara. I've talked about her some before. My grandmother liked to do needlepoint, and she had the whole, I mean, she was a seamstress, and she sewed, and she liked needlepoint, and she had all of these canvases with, you know, the big round wooden hoops that you stretch it out, and you do these little tiny knots that I can't even see, and she's working on this. I don't know how she did it. As like an 8-year-old kid sitting there watching her, I couldn't see the string that she was using, but she's in her, good grief, she had to be in her mid-60s at that point, and she had like 3 or 4 different layers of bifocals in her glasses, so I don't know how she saw to do this stuff, but she did, and she loved doing it, and I would sit there, and I would watch her, and she had all of these packets. I don't even know what they're called. They're not like reams or what. I don't know. The packets of thread that you'd use. You know what I'm talking about, right? What? Skein. Yes, those little things, except not yarn or big ones. They were the little ones, because it's little thin thread, and she has every conceivable color under the sun. And I know this because one time she had them all in a box and she asked me to help her sort them. And so we sorted them, you know, blues over here, reds over there. And I was curious, and I distinctly remember counting the blues. She had 109 different named and numbered blues. There were blues that had different numbers that didn't look any different to me. But they were different. I mean, she said, trust me, they're different. She had every color under the sun, and she would sit there and she would do this, and she would put these things together. And the best part about it for me was watching her work. Because as a kid, as I don't know, 8, 9, sitting on the floor, watching her do this, I can kind of see the picture coming from, you know, the backside of this. But there's threads going every which way because, you know, if she does a color here, then she has to go over here. So the thread runs across the back of it. So it's a mess back here, right? But you can kind of see the picture. You know where I'm going this, right? She's looking from this side. She sees the whole thing as it's playing out. And she's got the map in her hand too, so she knows where it's going. I can see the picture partly. But God can see the whole thing because He's in control. That's the perspective that He has. Because we might not know what the end result is or what the destination might be or what the whole big tapestry is going to look like when she's done putting it together. God knows. He is there. And we can trust that and we can be thankful for that. So how do we apply this one? By keeping in mind that we don't need to wait for the right conditions to be thankful. Instead, we make gratitude a daily habit. We take the time to be thankful in the face of challenges, in the face of perfect circumstances, or anywhere in between, so that our faith becomes resilient and it grows and it carries us forward. And we should all develop that habit. So you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to give you the opportunity to practice that. I want you to turn to somebody around you, and I don't want it to be your spouse, okay? That's too easy. Turn around to somebody near you and tell them something that you are thankful for right now. I'll give you some time. Go. Guys, you should see this from my perspective. This is incredible. I'm sitting here watching. I mean, you guys have got smiles on your faces as you're talking about things that you're grateful for. That's what we're talking about. That's the point of why we're talking about this. Because it brings the joy. It brings a sense of peace. Didn't that feel good? Doesn't it feel good to talk about the things that we're thankful for, that God has blessed us with? Even if it's in the middle of a dark circumstance in our life, we can still be thankful. As we reflect on faithfulness, God's faithfulness, our faith for the future grows stronger, and we can see that even the trials, even the tough circumstances can become opportunities for us to grow our faith. They can. It helps us to face the future with confidence because we know. We don't just assume. We know. Confident assurance that God is by our side. Those lessons sitting on the floor watching my grandmother were very powerful lessons for me. Of course, I didn't know at the time that they were lessons for my life. I had no clue. I just thought it was me watching her put together some picture of a mallard duck flying or some little Polly Pocket kind of a scene where there's this cartoonish house and some little trite phrase. I mean, she had tons of those things all over the house that she would put together. She did literally hundreds and hundreds of those things in her life. And I would watch those. I didn't know they were lessons. I didn't know she was teaching me, but she was. They were. She was full of lessons like that. She was. She taught me to be thankful in a lot of circumstances. I can remember one time, I couldn't have been more than about six. So very early in what I can easily recall in my memories. Mom and Dad were at work. My grandmother was watching me and my brother Mike, and she sold Avon, which always was weird to me because, I mean, now Heather sells it, and so it's just a reality I've had to get used to. But it was just these weird things, and she was always having this weird stuff, and she always has people in her house that she was talking to about Avon, and I'm like, man, is this like a cult or something? I mean, you're bringing people in and talking about it, and she's just selling stuff, and she had this lady in, and I remember distinctly at 6 years old, I walked through the living room, and I looked at her TV, and I went, don't you ever dust? Yeah, that was kind of her reaction, except 10 times worse. Oh, she was mad. She was mad at me. Oh, my goodness. When that lady left, she grabbed me. She grabbed me right here. You know how moms and grandmas do. Tali, you know what I'm talking about. Grabbed right there. Marched me in the living room, sat me down, and she said, don't you ever embarrass me like that. She goes, you really embarrass me in front of them. I'm thankful for you most of the time, but you embarrassed me. But she made it a point to say, I'm thankful for you, even in the midst of her mortification that I embarrassed her so bad. I mean, not bad for six, right? You embarrass your grandmother that bad when you're six? I mean, that's an achievement. That should go on my resume or something. That's something to be proud of. But she taught me in that even though she didn't really maybe like me in that moment, that she was still thankful for me. Even though I was a bratty six-year-old kid, she still thanked God for me. And that lesson stuck with me too, just like the lesson of her needlepoint. And gratitude is powerful. It's a powerful spiritual discipline that can transform our lives. It's a powerful example to people around us. And it's a powerful opportunity that when God opens the door for us to be able to talk about why we're thankful to somebody else, then when they wonder why we have such peace and such confidence in our lives, that peace, which we really can't understand, that it just doesn't make any sense. Paul says, we'll guard our hearts and minds. It helps us live with this steady calmness no matter what comes our way. It gives us an opportunity to talk about that. So I want to close things up this morning with both a challenge and an invitation. And the challenge, I mean, we've kind of already hit it a couple of times, but I want you to really focus on it this week. I want you to intentionally practice gratitude this week. Every day, I want you to name two or three things you're thankful for. Bring them to God in prayer. Write them down. Reflect on them and see how they might help you shift your perspective about circumstances. And whenever you feel anxious or you feel stressed out, just pause and thank God for those things. Doesn't have to be huge, long, heartfelt, drawn-out prayers. It can be popcorn prayers. Just thank God for those things. And see if he doesn't start to change your perspective, how you approach things. And the invitation. Maybe some of you are kind of weighed down by your worries, by your anxieties, and you don't know how to find that peace that we so desperately are looking for in our lives. And the invitation then is to open ourselves up to experience the life-changing power of the one who calls us to be grateful. And if you've never trusted in God's goodness, if you've never made a decision to follow Him, if you've never, even if you have and you need to renew that idea of faith and trust, then we're going to sing a song of invitation. And I invite you to come forward and allow us as a body to encourage one another. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says to spur one another on to good works. And maybe gratitude fits into that. And we can encourage each other and we can support each other and we can help each other grow and trust the one who promises peace and joy in every season of our life through gratitude. Allow Him to do that as you trust in His faithfulness and walk each day with that kind of a heart. So as we sing a song of invitation, if you need to meet Jesus, if you need to renew your faith in Jesus, or if you just want us to pray with you about specific circumstances so that you can be thankful to Jesus, we want to do that. Let me pray for you. Father, I am so, so thankful that this body of believers is the group that I get to call family. Because some of them have come alongside me and my family in times of need. And I've been able to come alongside of some of them in times of need. And we have been able to express our gratitude to you together and grow through it because of it. So God, help us to keep that mindset of family as we seek to grow together, as we seek to trust together, as we seek to be thankful together. Lord, help this not to be something that we just did in church today. But as we go out of this building and as we be the church in our homes and in our neighborhoods and in our community and in our work and in our school and wherever we might be, help us to be people of thankfulness for what you have poured into our lives. And help us to be people of trust that you're taking care of things that we might not be able to see the possible potential outcomes very clearly at all. Thank you for loving us that much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.